is coming. Oh, the King is coming. I've just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Yes, the King is coming. Oh, the King is coming.
Trumpet sounding, and now His face I see.
Coming after you tonight. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. What a privilege it is. Play a little bit more of that, brother. And we'll sing that one more time if you will. Play the song. Let's sing that one more time with all your heart. Oh, the King is coming.
It's coming.
The King is coming.
I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face.
Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, Brother Ron and Sister Naomi Daly says to please pray for our sister-in-law, Cheryl Laser, in Findlay, Ohio. She's battling severe depression. The meds they have her on don't seem to be helping. She asked that we would remember her in prayer, so let's remember that prayer request tonight. I have a special unspoken prayer request tonight I'd like for you to pray about in my family, some severe needs, and if you would take that on your heart, I'd appreciate it very much. Brother Barry English wants us to remember his daughter, Megan. She's getting close to her due date. She's a long ways from her family. They're just asking that God will keep His hand on her and watch out during all that that time that the Lord would just be merciful to her. Brother Jim Gold called to request prayer for all who have and are being affected, who've already been affected by the fires in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The fire is currently about 7 miles from a small message church named Springs Tabernacle and is forcing many to leave their homes and seek shelter elsewhere. So we certainly pray for that that situation, that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks in that part of the country. Sister Baker, we want to remember her tonight. She has several health issues, so we just committed unto the Lord also a special unspoken prayer request in that family. Let's pray for that need tonight. Here's a special unspoken prayer request for Brother Terry Stockton. The Lord knows all about it. Also, Sister Jaretta has a relative who has possible esophageal cancer. They're asking that we would remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Mike Pierce. He fell. I had to have some stitches, having some headaches from that fall. So let's pray for our brother. Sister Joanne Tessa says that Sister Jen Winters called to ask her to put in a prayer request for her. She is sick and wants to be remembered in prayer. So let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Martha Ann sends this in for a Sister Margaret McCullough. She had a stroke, also a stroke or a heart attack. Her doctors did a heart cath on her. She's barely coming out of this procedure, and the situation is very grave. So they're asking that we would remember that sister in prayer tonight. Sister Carol Reagan sends this in for her sister Sharon, who had chemo last Wednesday. Her blood counts are very low, or too low. She is very weak. Please keep her in your prayer. So we certainly pray for Sharon, Sister Carol's sister, that the Lord would be merciful unto her. Also, Sister Carol sends this in, says that she spoke to Sister Natalie's mother today. Sister Natalie had surgery on Monday, but the doctor was not able to remove the tumor. It was too close to her spine. She will need chemo to shrink the tumor before the doctor can remove it safely. Sister Natalie has finally got the pain under control. She desires our prayers. So we certainly want to pray for our sister. I never seen anybody battle any harder in my life, I don't believe. So we just pray that the Lord would help her, help that family, her mother and father, as they go through this time. Do you have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this assembly to pray about? We just commit all these things unto the Lord. We know that God is more than able to meet all these needs tonight. Let's just sing that little chorus before we pray over these needs tonight. Let's give the Lord a little bit of thanks. Let's sing that little chorus, thanks, tonight, if you would. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks. All you've done, I am so blessed, soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I want to give you thanks. We want to say thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
I give you thanks. Oh, come tonight, if you would. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service and ask Him to have His perfect divine will all these requests tonight. God bless you, buddy.
Let's all just pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come one more time in Satan's Eden, to come to a house of refuge here, Lord, to hear the word of life. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that you've had on us every day of our life, Lord, and we realize you have your hand on us or we wouldn't be able to come. But Lord, we ask for these requests. Oh, there's so many. It's just every day you hear more and more and more how Satan's really gone all out. He's done everything he can do right now, Father, because he knows he don't have much longer to work. And we know that you are still faithful as you ever were. You're still here to answer prayer, Father. We especially just like Louis said about Sister Natalie, Lord, I've never heard such a battle, God. And Lord, there's got to be a purpose in it, Lord. If you're letting her fight this long, God, we're asking you to just touch her, Lord, and help her. Each request is important to the person who gave it, Lord. We realize each one's very important. We each family has lost loved ones, Father God, and the time's getting short, Lord. They might not be bride, but they can be saved, Lord. And we're asking you to save each of our loved ones, Father, if they are bride, but we know you'll bring them in anyway. But we ask to be with the pastor tonight, Lord, that you'd bless him, anoint our ears we might hear, that we'll have strength to go just a few more days till we can make it back to the house of God. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Skip. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming this service tonight, and I'm sure there are many that does stream the service. May God richly bless every one of you that's streaming the service tonight. Let me make an announcement here tonight. The church is experiencing a very low water pressure problem. It's making it very difficult times in the restrooms. We are aware of the problem, and the trustees are working with the city and county officials. It will be a little bit of time before this is fixed. It's going to take some time to get everything corrected. Sorry for the inconvenience, but it is being worked on, and hopefully that'll be all right here just in the next little bit. So just be patient. It'll all work out. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a real good hand clap of praise tonight. Do you love him with all your heart? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he great? Aren't you glad he found you? I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain. Say it, buddy.
The Savior speak to me. Oh, he said, come to me, relenting.
Yes, he did.
Of all your sins repenting, child, I will lead you out where you can see.
Oh, and I'm so glad he found me. With love he bound me, put his arms around me, and he led me to the shade.
Someday I'm going. him yonder.
Hallelujah.
My love's gonna still grow fonder up in that happy home.
Oh, let's sing it out, church, with all your heart. Yes, I'm so glad he found me. With love he found me. He put his arms around me.
And he led me to the shed.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've got a couple of specials tonight we're going to work in. Brother Fred, if you'd come, give us a song tonight. Then Brother Kenneth, Brother Wayne, Brother Chuck, going to be accompanied by some wonderful musicians other than what's on this platform, I guess, tonight. Or besides what's on the platform anyway. Some that you might not have heard before, but I believe you'll really, really enjoy it tonight. Let's enjoy our songs tonight. We'll go. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord, aren't you? Amen. Brother Fred, God bless you as you sing tonight. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through test of time. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Like a dove when hunted frightened, like a wounded fawn was I, broken hearted, yet he healed me. He will heed the sinner's cry. If you know the chorus, sing it with me. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sin he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood, his power to save. He the pearly gates, sing it with me, will open so that I may enter in. For He purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. In life's eventide, at twilight, at your door I'm gonna knock and wait, 'cause it's by the precious love of Jesus I shall enter heaven's gate. Sing it with me. He the pearly gates will open.
Joel turned 40 Monday, and you can tell it by not being able to see the words when they're this close to you. We hope you guys enjoy this. Kenneth twisted my arm to get me up here, so just blame him.
Are you a stranger to God? Carried away with your pride? sinner, do you ever stop and think? Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid? Are you unsaved? Are you afraid to die? Call on him while he is near. Moments are swift passing by. Will you seek him while he still may be found? Like a thief in the night. Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid? Are you unsaved? Are you afraid to die?
Enjoyed that, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Amen. Give him another good hand. I thought that was just really good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. We just thank God for this privilege that it is to be in his house once again. What an opportunity God has given us. Let's sing that little chorus together. Maybe a verse, Brother Harry, if you lead us in it. Let the worshipers arise. We're called to worship. We're called for that purpose, to worship Him, because He's worthy of every bit of it, right? Let the worshipers arise. Let His sons and His daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Where I see that you
draw. Oh, yes.
I wanna be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in
oh, yes,
me.
Lord,
this
let
is
it happen.
My prayer. This is my plea.
Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing.
Let his sons and his daughters sing.
I'm surrendering.
waters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Well, if you're a bride, nothing less than that will work in this marriage. Being a pastor, I've dealt with lots of marriage problems. A lot of them are based on selfishness. Either the selfishness of the man, or the selfishness of the woman, or the selfishness of both of them. Now, truly, our husband, the Lord Jesus, surely we could all agree, he was not selfish by any means. So why is it that our marriage to him is without flaw? Why is it that our relationship, our marriage to him, why is it that there's constant things between us and him? Surely we're not going to blame him for it. So why is it any greater? Selfishness on our part. We don't want to let go of this or let go of that or quit this or quit that. Or our rights, we're Laodiceans. In time, your body is still Laodicean. You think that ain't right? Let somebody get your seat in church or somebody get your parking spot. Laodicean will raise up real quick. But if you're a sheep, you actually forfeit your rights. Things which are actually yours to keep peace. Well, there's a little sermon there. That was free of charge. Wasn't on the notes. Now let's turn from the earth and turn to heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. I'd like to speak to you again tonight on what's happening in heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. We'll read verses 6 through verses 10. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, this is a great mystery now. It's not three gods. It's not even two gods. Neither is it one like this. It's the mystery of the Godhead, which takes the revelation to be able to comprehend it. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So how many bottles do you send up? Praise the Lord. The prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God, made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign. Heavenly Father, we know this is one of the most sublime passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. Your prophet says it's one of the most sublime things that's written in the Word of God. So I pray that you would open our understanding to something that if it's so sublime and so wonderful, then it must have to do with us. Something from your heart to ours. I pray that you would make yourself real to us tonight in the present manifestation of where you are and what you are doing in this hour. Speak to us from your very word and from your very heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Sure love you tonight in the Lord. You may be seated. I know with our finite human mind, it's hard to try to grasp. How could God, which resides in every one of us here tonight who have Him, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily is on the earth in the form of the bride, then what's left in heaven? What is there in heaven? Well, when Jesus was on the earth and He received the Holy Ghost at the river, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Him. Yet, there was something that was on the throne of God that Satan knew the throne was not vacated. And yet, Jesus prayed to the Father, and He and the Father conversed back and forth. And Jesus was not His own daddy, we know that. And yet, you look at us, and we have the Spirit of God. How many has the Holy Ghost dwelling in you tonight? Does the Holy Ghost in you ever intercede? Sure. He's an intercessor. He's a parakletos. But will that atone for your sins? No. So you mean I need an intercession in my heart as I'm on the earth? And that will not speak for my sins? The Spirit was not given on the altar of the cross. The Holy Spirit was not the sacrifice for your atonement, but it was the body and the soul. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost did not, cannot, and can never die. Jesus, the body, the man, could and did die and was raised again. Now watch, if we're not careful, what many folks have done, they have made a switch in the intercessor. So they have taken that it was the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the innocent substitute that died for their sins. Then whenever He ascended up into heaven, came back on the day of Pentecost, then the Holy Ghost now becomes the intercessor, so they say, in the human heart. So therefore, the blood of the Lamb, the body of the Lamb, is no longer needed on the mediatorial throne. But is that the truth? That's what I want to know. I'm not really interested in supposition. I love you folks to death. But you know what? I wouldn't give you a nickel for every one of y'all's ideas piled sky high in this building. Y'all's just like me. You're dumber than a coal bucket. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't know if you was a Trinity or one of some of you sitting under women preachers, eternal hell, everything in the world. Ain't no telling where y'all be tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God. Some of y'all probably screaming, hollering some Pentecostal church. Some of you be sitting in some church of Christ, sitting dried up like an old onion. Some of you be down at the Free Will Baptist. Some of you over at the No Will, the Free Will, Hey Will, whatever will. Ain't no telling where you'd be. I'll tell you why you're here tonight. Grace. I'll tell you why I'm here. Grace. So let's lay aside what I think, what you think, what Dr. So-and-so said, what this theologian said. Let's go back and consult the Word of God and find out what the real truth of this is, if there's any benefit for us. If there's any benefit in us understanding the need of a mediator and how to call upon that mediatorship in order for us to receive the full benefit of what is actually in heaven. If there's anything there. If there's nothing in heaven, then let us come to an understanding that everything that we need then is on the earth and it's in us, and we no longer need to look this way when we pray. All we need to do is look here. If it's all right here, then let's pray that way. If we have it, and it is here, and yet it is there, then let's understand it. Notice this. We'll pick up again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 14. As Paul sets the understanding of the early church, and remember, Peter didn't quite understand it this way. James certainly did not. The rest of the apostles did not have this understanding of being able to go into the Old Testament and be able to pull out the types of the Levitical priesthood to be able to bring into the office of the Lord Jesus like Paul did. Now it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, you know that Paul at this time had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the church said, but yet Paul here is still identifying Jesus, the Son of God. Now remember, what creates a lot of these problems is the dispensational claims that we know that Jesus appeared on the earth as Son of Man. During the church ages, he was known as Son of God. And then he comes in the millennium as Son of David. Now, you know, in order to keep these things right, we must have a continuity that will flow, that the quotes will tie together and the scriptures will tie together, and then the quotes and the scriptures will tie together. If we get it right, they'll all flow exactly right. But if we don't, then we'll take this quote with that one, this one, but that one, then we have to ignore 37 other pages of other quotes, and we certainly can't take this scripture. I don't want a doctrine like that. I was messed up like that in Pentecost. I don't want to go back to that mess. I want to know where scripture meets scripture. I want to know where quote meets quote, where it all ties together, and then we can be able to know what we believe. Now, you're this man with the Holy Ghost. Now, they're living under the dispensation of the church ages as Son of God. And yet, Paul does not put Jesus on the earth as Son of God only by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, be careful now. Because what many of the theologians around the message have done, they have put Jesus as the Son of God during the church ages. And then, of course, if the church ages are over, then he's no longer Son of God. So then that lifts him from the mediatorial throne. But is that what Brother Branham taught? And is that what Brother Branham personally believed? No. Big no. Brother Branham sinned. Brother Branham made mistakes. And Brother Branham did not need an intercessor just in here. He needed one up there. Now, watch this. He says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, notice now, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, for he verily took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for what? The sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now notice, this is after his ascension. It's hard for us to imagine, but these are human experiences that were picked up on the earth, which could not be allocated to him by creation. Now, God could have given him all kinds of things by creation, but there are certain things that could not. Did you ever wonder why Paul, in the book of Titus, told the aged women, the older women, to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to be keepers at home, to be chaste, to do this, this, this? Why didn't Paul tell the preachers to tell the women that? Why would Paul tell the older women to tell the younger women? Actually, the word he uses is teach, which is exhort. Oh, my Lord. Somebody call 911 quick. The whole church just passed out. I'm sorry, friends, y'all hadn't read that in the Bible, but that is the scripture. Paul told the older women to teach the younger women. Well, why did not he tell the preachers to do that? Now, if you can get it just by teaching alone, then Paul would have never told. Why was it? Do you think I could ever, ever, ever be able to take the scriptures alone and teach you women how to be a good wife? Duh. I'm not a woman. Thank God. I mean, praise the Lord. Thank God for women. Fixed that one, didn't I? I can't relate. You can't relate to how men think. You sisters might as well say amen. Amen to that. So there's apparently something that a woman which had had experiences and sisters in the Lord, and they would be able to actually convey something to younger sisters that even a pastor wouldn't be able to do. You folks do believe the Bible here, right? Everybody believe the Bible? Raise your hand. All right. Rest of you, we're praying for you. You'll get saved. Now notice, and so there's something about vocation and something about gender
which would not only be able to take the theology side. Now, there's not a woman here we know that would be able to take theology of the word and ever be able to compare it to a minister. There ain't no way. So Paul ain't telling her, now, glory to God, you sister, get up here. Ha! Glory to God, you young girls. Ha! Glory to God, you need to be a good husband. Ha! Glory to God. Glory to God. Sit down, sis. But yet there's something about being of that gender and of that kind that would be able to relate to the younger sisters in a way that a man would never be able to do it. Now, God himself knew this, and this is why he must become flesh. By his omnipotence, omniscience, and all of that, he could know. He could look at you and say, you're tempted. I see that bothers you. I see that troubles you. But I must become of your own kind in order to relate. Now, whenever he comes, he doesn't just learn that and say, okay, now I understand it. Now I understand. Now I'm going to revert back to the Logos as I was before I came, and all the human experience, I'm going to leave it on the earth. Absolutely not. He needs this human experience. Look, whenever he was here, he went through this human experience for 33 and a half years. He has used those human experiences for almost 2,000 years in the office of high priest. Oh, glory. He did not leave all of that human experience upon the earth, but he took that human experience back into paradise. And there, as the high priest, he is still going back upon remembering what he went through. I was made like my brothers. I was like my brothers. I was tempted like my brothers. I was disappointed like my brothers. I was weary like my brothers. And that human experience still is what affects him today in that office of high priest. Oh, glory to God. Notice this. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. I want you to notice what a peculiar title that he allocates to Jesus. Consider the apostle. And the word apostle, of course, is one sent with orders. So Jesus was an apostle. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Jesus Christ. Now, whenever you look then at where we are right now in this day. Now, we're in between the breaking of the seals, the opening of the seven seals, and all seven seals are open. And the whole word of God is ready for those, of course, who can receive it. Then we're in between what God has now started forth in the stage of the rapture. We're in the stage as it was after Moses had left, when Joshua had come, going into the book of Judges, to where now every man is going to do that which is right in his own eyes, unless he's born again. Then he'll do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, whenever, every time God makes a move, he will always back off and let Satan come in that move and attack that move. Because the strength and the stability of the people believing that move is not just in the initial stages, but it's when the trouble, the persecution will arise, then they'll come from outside persecution, and then it'll turn from within. And from within, they will start having difficulty and problems and fusses and arguments and debates. And this man will pull off this way and that one that way. Y'all hearing me? Now look, this is where we are. You know, we didn't want to accept the years ago, but Satan must have his turn with this word the same way that he did with Paul. The same way that he did with Luther, with Wesley, with Pentecost. He must have his turn. He must have that right to be able to attack Happy Valley. We're no longer at the stage we were when I came here 25 years ago and we was having a revival and oh my, everybody thought I hung the moon. Now they wish the moon had fell on top of me after I hung it. So we're no longer at that stage where everybody just loves me, even those that come here. After a while, people become discontented. They don't like this or that or the other, and they become discontented with the message. And then they go to pulling off this way and pulling off that way. You know what they're going to do, friend? As we go on in time, preachers will want to polish it up. They'll want to take the rough edges off of the message and make it more social and more likable, because the men have been more educated now than Brother Branham was. And we've got folks sitting in our churches that have all kinds of degrees, and they're polished, and now they understand all sorts of things. But God chose that man in his simplicity because he knew what we needed in this age. Oh yes, he knew what we needed. I guarantee you one thing, there'll be folks that, man, they may have so many degrees you couldn't even put them all on that wall. But with them degrees, they've got a new burst. And they realize degrees is fine and wonderful, but they know faith will override every degree. Every intellect of man, faith is the conqueror, not degrees. Now, here we are after many, many years, and many of you have been here much longer than I have. And we find ourselves in the stage of the message where people are becoming discontented, fussing, fighting. We've had all these different moves come through. Every one of them falling flat on their face. Sure they will. Everything outside of the pure word of God will do so. There's only one great big one yet left to fall, and it will too. Now, as we go on in time, it will come that way. And then we're dealing with problems inside of our own home. Problems inside our families, our children, our grandchildren, whatever more. And it becomes more difficult as we go. And the real test is not just us coming in and God us marching around the walls of Jericho and God knocking the walls down. That ain't the test. God only done that one time. Ain't it peculiar how God can use something? God used hornets one time as a weapon of war. At another time, He used them as an item of love to teach Brother Branham something about love. Right? He used hornets to kill folks, drive them out. Another time, He didn't want Brother Branham to kill them. I'm afraid I ain't got there yet. And I see a hornet's nest. I don't try to love them, damn. I stand 25 feet off. Now, whenever then you look at where we are now and how much ever time that we have left, as we go on, it will get worse. The atmosphere around us, not only the world, but our own regiment, our own identification of believers. There will be more dissension. There will be more people pulling this way, that way. People will be uncertain. People won't know what they believe. They'll begin to question this, question that. You know, some of you folks think it's such an important thing of how many dollars your child can get go to this certain college. I'll tell you one thing, what's more important than that. You better pray over what college, what kids that your kids go to, because they might get more money over here, but there might be a boy over there that's going to waylay them once they get there. Or there might be a girl. You better pray, Lord, which would be the best one for them to go to? What if you make the choice simply because of money and because dollar signs was in your eyes, you directed your child toward a place that's going to stumble them and cause them to lose years of their walk with God? Well, y'all ain't preaching with me, but I'm going to preach anyway. So as we go along in this journey, do we need a high priest? Is there any need, is there any relevance to us having currently a high priest? Since the seals are open, whole words have been opened, right? Well, let's look at something here. He cares, do you care? July the 21st, 1963. Now, all these quotes I'm going to refer to tonight will be after the seals are open. There's no one cares like Jesus, knowing that His body as a high priest and a mediatorial work that He's doing 3 months after the seals. Now notice, so to put the Holy Spirit in us as the only mediator is to put something in you as your mediator which did not pay your price. The Holy Spirit never died on the cross. The Holy Spirit never bled on the cross. It was the body, Brother Jim. The body. Now I know I'm going to get some emails and folks are going to give me a piece of their mind once I preach this, but that's all right. I'm going to preach it anyhow. Notice, he says, knowing this, that His body as a high priest in a mediatorial work that He's doing now, that body must be in the presence of God at all times. For intercession. Not the Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Spirit. That body. Can't you see why whenever He rises up to leave, the rapture must follow immediately. If that body is not before the throne of God, you don't have a mediator. As I said it last week, can you imagine Jesus getting up off the throne, leaving the mediatorial throne, 24 hours goes by, 48, 72, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 8 days. Can you imagine how many of the bride around the world would have made mistakes, done things wrong, said things wrong, and took Jesus after got up off the throne, took Him a week to come down to the earth? Huh? So when he leaves the throne, immediately, she's got to have a change. Why? That body must be on the throne until, don't you see, body sequenced with body. As long as that body is on the throne of God, it proves there's mortals on the earth. But when he arises to leave, it's proving, brother, immortal bodies are fixing to walk down streets of gold. Now notice how Brother Ben places this, that the body must be in the presence of God at all times for intercession. That God cannot see the sinner sin. He sees only the blood of his own son. And knowing that, he sent back the Holy Spirit to continue to... Ah. So the body's there and the Spirit is here to comfort. Look at this again. God greater than Solomon. Who is sitting, speaking about Jesus, in the presence of the resurrected Jesus Christ? Let us look away from our symptoms to heaven itself, where Jesus sits at the right hand of God with his own blood to make intercessions upon our confession. So what if you confess you don't need no more blood? You're sick of this bloody religion. It's now the Spirit. I've got the intercessor in me. I understand that. But that body has got to be on the throne of God at all times. Of course, if you think you don't make no mistakes, I don't guess you'd figure you'd need an intercessor. Of course, if you come up telling me that, I'm going to tell you right off, you're a liar. And I won't go behind your back. I'll look you right square in the eye and say, get that lying devil off you. Any of y'all want to stand up and say that tonight? You don't make no mistakes? I'll tell you right in front of everybody in this church and everybody streaming. You are a liar. Sit down. From the preacher all the way back, we all need a mediator. Oh my, notice this again, greater than Solomon's here in Tucson. He says, oh God, give us men and women with rugged faith. He'll not look to Simpson, look at anything the devil hands you. Hand it back to him. And say, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in his all-sufficient power. Glory. I believe that his presence, notice, is here to set me free from my bondage. Amen. That Satan put upon me, I look to where he sits. Wait a minute. I believe his presence is here now. And I look to where he sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for all you lost people, all you church-aged people. For me. With his own blood as high priest. Look, friend, when you and I do wrong, Jesus Christ does not show Father God the Holy Spirit. He shows what God demanded. Blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. This is why God can't kill you. You ought to be shouting your shoe heels off right now. Because we do enough in a week to get killed already. If it hadn't been for God's grace, there wouldn't be nobody here tonight. We'd all done be killed. Including the preacher, all the deacons, all the trustees, the song leader, the musicians, and everybody else. Oh, glory! But how can God kill you? How can God, whenever that blood is there before him, how can God do it? He cannot. Hallelujah. With his own blood as a high priest, he sits there. Notice these dates now. He sits there over it. How much more ought we to look to the holy place of God where Jesus himself, our mediator, the only one between God and man, stands with his own blood to make intercession. On what? So if you confess, you don't need him. We're free from the law. We're under another dispensation. It's a new covenant now. God don't care what you look like. God don't care what you do. How you dress, what you talk. Man, if you're ordained, you're ordained. That's all that matters. Well, glory. No, God does care what you look like. I mean, you know, if you're serpentine, God don't care what serpentine look like. It's serpentine. You're the wife of the devil? Dress any way you want to. That ain't God's responsibility. But God's sure concerned about the way his wife dresses. You brothers know as well as I do, you go to the grocery store, you go to Walmart, you go to Lowe's, everywhere you go, man, they can't wait to strip off the clothes. Not only women anymore, but men. Men's worse than the women are. You go out in the 10 degrees, a man have on a big old woolly bear coat and short breeches. I think, my Lord, what in the world? Am I dumb or are they dumb? What in the world's going on? But you know what? It's not my responsibility to stand in Lowe's and right there at the front door and tell every woman that comes through there, you Jezebel, you're going straight to hell. But if my Carol puts on something, or if my Carol would want to wear something out, and she'd want to dress decent, that's a different story. She don't want to because she's a Christian. But that's a different story. Now that's my responsibility. I'll get thrown in jail if I stood down at Lowe's and tell the women there, Kroger, wherever more, because they will flat tell me it ain't none of my business, mind my own business, all that sort of thing. So God is not really concerned about the devil's wife. She wants to live the way that, well, that's perfectly, that, no, that's what she chooses. But God's wife, oh, that's a different thing. Whew. He loves her to death and he'll beat her to death if she don't mind him. You're hard-headed, you want to be, go ahead. But if you're a brother, I'll tell you, if he loves you, he'll get you. Oh, yes, he'll get you. And he'll not let you get by, he'll get you. Now watch, he says, oh my, again, a greater than Solomon is here. Don't look towards the natural temple, but look toward the temple in heaven where Christ sits at the right hand of the majesty and the power with his own blood to make intercession upon our confession. The Bible said he's a high priest. Say those next two words. July the 21st, 1963. So March has passed, April, May, June, July. The seals have been opened, broke, preached, revealed. And Brother Branham believed Jesus was still a high priest right now. I believe the same thing. Watch his prayer. We're told in the word that you're a high priest that's sitting on high, ever living to make intercession. And also that you being the high priest at this time that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Lord God, now you realize that people in the message say, well, he only said that to stumble people. So he's praying this prayer to God. To stumble people. What kind of message are you following? We have a prophet of God that is praying to God to stumble people. Oh, God help us. My, think of it. Lord God, grant that every person here tonight may have the privilege of touching you tonight. The great high priest. Be made well for the glory of God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Friends, you understand? It's come to a spot to where many folks cannot make this word live in their life. And now the message folks are doing what Pentecost and many of them done years ago. They could not produce miracles, signs, and wonders. So you know what they come up with? The idea that God don't do it no more. So that way, they're not required to be able to do it. You mark my word, as a little old Kentucky hillbilly that don't know very much, it's already moving among us. As time goes on, it'll move even greater. It'll come to where that all will be required is just believe, Brother Branham. Just play a few tapes, go to church, nod your head to some jellyback preacher as he stands up there and don't really hurt nobody's feelings. Come on, church. Oh yeah, why? Because the message, folks that aren't born again will not be able to produce this life. They will not be able to produce supernatural, so they'll do exactly the same thing. Explain it away. Well, we don't need that no more. We're in a different day. We're in a different time frame. See? So we don't matter the difference how you live. We don't have to have supernatural signs, wonders, miracles, Pentecostal. Pentecostal. Brother Donnie only preaches that because he come from Pentecost. The reason Brother Donnie preaches that because he come from God. God was the first original Pentecostal. Brother Bam says in 1962, Pentecost is God. That's the kind of Pentecost I'm talking about. Not 1906, but the original one. Oh my. Notice this. Thank you, Jesus. Sign of the time. How much more faith are we to have, and we don't look to a temple built by man, but to heaven, where Jesus, the Son of God, sits at the right hand of His majesty with His own blood, ever living to make intercessions. No doubt if we live through this year, we'll find many mistakes that we have made. We just expect that because it goes along with pro and con. I don't like them laws. Pro and con. I deal with pro and con every day. Sometimes I'm on con, sometimes I'm on pro. Then the next day I'm on con and then I'm on pro, and then the next day I'm on pro and I'm on con. And I don't, some days I don't know where I'm at. If I'm pro or con. Or I may be prom. Or I may be crow. I'm just being honest. Y'all might as well say amen too. Some of y'all probably come to church tonight not knowing if it's pro or con or corn or whatever it was. Well, that is the law. I don't like it, but it's the way that it is. Now that's why you need a high priest. Oh my. We just expect that. Because it goes along the pro and con. That's the law of average. We live here, live by here in this life. Well, I don't like that law neither. I'm an above average guy in my soul. And I have to live by the law of average in my body. I don't like that. I don't like pro and con. But guess what? They never know about it. Until I get changed. But listen what God did about it. Oh. But we're so glad. Notice now. We're so glad. Now, we're not so glad for them poor, rotten, sorry people out there that ain't in the message. Them poor old Baptists and them poor old... Notice how he says it. But we're so glad. We have a mediator. Not they. Oh, glory. We're so glad we have a mediator who sits at the right hand of God to make intercession when we are willing to admit. You see, brothers, when you confess your wife's mistakes, God don't work on that profession. When you spend so much of your time confessing mine, I appreciate the prayer, but that ain't going to help you. You got to be willing to admit your own. And this is where many folks cannot and will not do it. Some folks will go to hell and be annihilated before they'll admit they're wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. Some of this and cause it, and that cause it, and this and wasn't for the church. It wasn't for the church. I'll tell you one time. I'd be way up the road if it wasn't for Brother Donnie. We'll move. Go to Brother Tim's. Go somewhere. Hey, if I'm your problem, adios, amigos. You want a U-Haul tomorrow? We'll recruit some guys and help load you up. If I'm your... is your problem, get out of here. But if you're your problem, you better get right so you can get out of here. Now notice, here is this intercessor that is merged with the knowledge of humanity and a human body which has now entered into the office of high priest, which is now merged with divine and human together. His omnipotence, omnipresence, everything merging into that body with the human knowledge that he got, that when he hears one of his sons saying, oh Jesus, please help me. Jesus, please help me with this temptation. Oh God. Oh God, forgive me. I doubted, Lord. Forgive me. I questioned your word. Forgive me, Lord. And when you call upon him, I'm so glad he don't hear me through only the channel of divinity and righteous judgment. But I'm glad he hears a human struggling, a human hurting, a human weak. And that human voice pulls on that human understanding that he got when he was on the earth. You see, had it been Melchizedek, oh, Melchizedek was a great position. But Melchizedek was not what I needed. Don't misunderstand me now. Amen! Later, we don't hear no more of Melchizedek. He later becomes Jesus Christ, which is what I needed. I didn't need Melchizedek to be my priest in heaven. I needed Melchizedek to become Jesus Christ. And from there, Melchizedek could take what? The human feelings, the human understanding, the human relation, the brotherhood to brothers. He could take that back and down on the mediatorial throne from one human to another. When God's justice and God's righteousness would boil within him to extinguish your life or mine. But having a brother on the throne to intercede. And when that brother hears one of his brothers, Lord Jesus. But we're so glad that we have a mediator who sits at the right hand of God to make intercession when we are willing to admit our mistakes that we've done wrong. Notice, this is when he forgives them. People in their mind think it's automatic. As soon as they do wrong, pew, 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 pew. My friend, where did you learn that garbage? He does not forgive you based upon him just being there. He is waiting. The entirety of the whole process is waiting on your confession. So if you do something wrong today and you don't make it right for 2 weeks, it's still hanging there in the presence of God as a blot against you. Oh, glory. Notice how this works. When we are willing to admit our mistakes that we've done wrong, then he forgives us. Do you brothers honestly think that you sit down and you go to a website and you look at something vulgar and filthy and you think as soon as you look at it, Jesus forgives you? You say something wrong, you do something wrong, and you don't even have to admit it. You don't have to even ask him to forgive you. Friends, where has this come from? Where has this come from that it has eroded our thinking? Notice this, when we are willing to admit our mistakes that we've done wrong, then he forgives them. I love this. He is full of grace and mercy to forgive us for those mistakes, but only when we ask. Because you see, there's something humiliating about admitting that you're wrong. And that's why some folks cannot do it. Their pride will not allow them. They will not do it. I mean, you've seen folks like that. You and I both know them as well. They'll figure out 47 ways from Sunday to justify what they said and what they've done because they just cannot admit they were wrong. Well, I'm going to preach whether or not you folks get with me. But when we are willing to admit it, Lord, I lied. I would never say that. You ought to if you did. The Holy Ghost called Brother Branham a liar. And before he'd forgive him, Brother Branham had to witness that what the Holy Ghost said was the truth. I lied. Well, glory. That's why I can follow a man like this. Don't paint him all white and flawless friends. I need that kind of example, Brother Jerry. I need a man that would be man enough that would know these tapes would be played for years after he's gone. And he would be man enough to stand up and say, I lied. I've done wrong. I listened to my mother-in-law instead of listening to God. All these things that he said. And that's things the message folks don't even want you to preach. You can see why. You can see why. The devil don't want you to hear that. It's there for a reason, my friends. Notice he's sitting at the right hand of his majesty to make intercession upon our confession. Again, he's a high priest sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high to make intercession on our profession. You've got to accept it and profess it. See, that's correct. Same way by healing. Again, well, if Jonah, under those circumstances, could look to the tabernacle that a man made, how much more ought you and I tonight to look to the temple where Jesus stands at the right hand of the majesty with his own blood, making intercession on our... But what if we say, I have need of nothing? I've been in this message for so many years, I listen to the tapes, I don't need nothing. Then your high priest's hands are totally tied. You've just confessed you need nothing, which means no mercy, no help, no comfort. You need nothing. I love this one here in trial in Tucson. The corporal body is sitting at the right hand of God to make intercession. Now watch. But the Holy Ghost has come on to carry on his work. What makes intercession, Brother David? Does not the Spirit within us, Brother Dunn? Yes, but the Holy Ghost cannot make intercession for the atonement of sin. Only the body. Only that which was received for the purchase price. But what is the Holy Ghost? It is the token that the price has been paid. But what was the price? His body. God is not laying the token on the throne there. The token is in you. The token is your part of the identification. But what's there? It ain't the Holy Ghost on him so much there. It's the body. And when God looks at the body and he looks at you, he cannot step over that. Because you and Jesus are blood kin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The blood is there and you got the life of the blood. He cannot cross over that. So the corporal body is there. Lord Jesus. Notice in the church age book, don't be confused because of his three offices or that he was a threefold manifestation on earth. He was a prophet. In heaven, he is. Notice, on earth, he is a prophet. In heaven, he is the priest. Coming back to the earth, he is King of Kings. He that was, that is Jesus the prophet. He that is, that is he the high priest. Making intercession, one who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, which is to come. That is the coming King on earth. He which is, which was, and which shall come. Oh, hallelujah. Now, is Jesus still the bride's high priest? Does she need a high priest? Watch again. He is now high priest, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, sitting there ever living to make intercession. A high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Again, he is a high priest sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high to make intercession on our profession. You've got to accept it and profess it. Now notice, he's not king in the sense of crowned king. Jesus has not received a crown yet. that's to come. So what is he doing? High priest. High priest. With his corporal body. And the chemistry of the blood. Is it a resemblance? Is it a symbology? I have no idea. But all I know is what he says. That he's there before the throne of God. And that God looks down on the earth and God looks over foolish virgin and Lot type. And they say, oh Jesus, I've done wrong. Forgive me, Jesus, I've done wrong. And God looks back down upon them and he sees no token. And they're saying, oh Jesus, you're my Savior. Jesus, you're my Savior. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. But there's no token. So they slide right into the tribulation period. You see, folks sitting in Nestor's pews without the Holy Ghost. Yet they believe they're bride because they believe Brother Branham is a prophet. They ask God to forgive them of their sins. Oh God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. God looks down. No identification with the blood life from the throne of God. Here's the blood up here. And God looks down on them. No display of the token. Where will they go? Tribulation period. How can a man that the blood speaks for ever go through the tribulation period? Friends, people aren't actually under the blood. They think they are. But the only way to get the blood life is walk in the light of the word. Now, can they get forgiven under the price that Jesus paid? They can. But to go on and have a constant cleansing and a constant fellowship, that requires light. Blood, light, and life harmonized together to produce the full gospel. People have separated that. My, they think they've got all the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. And that's why they, oh, I'm going to the rapture too. I come here to this and the other. But I'm under the blood. Totally impossible. Amen. Brother Ram said, you women wearing makeup and claiming you got the Holy Ghost. Well, glory. He said, you preachers are the backbone like a jellyfish. Not enough backbone to stand up front and tell them it's wrong. And you claim you got the Holy Ghost. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Amen. Now, can you imagine when the high priest walks into the place of atonement one time a year in the Old Testament? He's got a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell. And he walks in, his heart starts racing. Comes over to the table of the shewbread, the seven branch candlestick. And he keeps walking. He reaches over his hand. Takes hold of the veil. Dear God. Dear God, if I've done anything wrong, please forgive me. He pulls back the veil. And there it hangs. The Shekinah. He steps in behind. The veil drops around him. Great Adonai. Adonai. Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai. What's he got? The blood and a charger. Now he must offer the atonement for himself first. When he walks in there, he will have a linen ephod. He will have a riband of blue. He will have the mitre. And he will have the Urim Thummim. On this Urim Thummim is stones, births. Stones. The birthstones of the 12 tribes. He's walking in with blood in his hands. Glory to God. He's walking in with the riband of blue, the heavenlies. He's walking in with the pomegranate and the bell. He's merged. It's all merged. Glory to God. I feel like speaking in tongues. It's merged in this office of the high priest. The heavens, the riband of blue, the heavens, the great divine color of God, the great blood here in his hands. And you're the names of the earthly tribes. It's all merged in the office of this high priest. Hallelujah. And this high priest walks in as a representative of heaven. And a representative of the people with the blood in his hands. But he's got their names over his heart. And God looks at that blood. Can you imagine millions of Israelites? All the sins they had done all year long. And this one man comes in one time a year like this. And if this man follows it to the letter, he walks in with the guilt of millions of Israelites. And they are represented in this man. Because under the tribe of Reuben was a certain stone. And if you're a Reubenite, you're identified on the high priest's chest. if you're of Judah, if you're of Issachar, whatever you are, you might not have went into the presence. I was not worthy to walk in before the throne of God with blood. Oh no, but I was identified. My birth pass, my name, my identification was in my high priest. And when Jesus walked in there, he has me with him. So God accepts this one man. And the people are on the outside praying, praying, praying on the Day of Atonement. Oh God, forgive our sins. Oh God, our sins are many. God, forgive our sins. God, forgive our sins. And this one man, if he does it right, God will blot out the sins of millions. Glory to God. Our high priest walked into the presence of God. When Mary comes to him and starts to reach out her hand, as she had done no doubt before, to touch him, say, ah, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I've got to go before the throne of God. Brother Raymond said he was going to take the blood and go before the throne of God. I don't know how, but somehow, when he walked in there, I was with him. I don't know how. I mean, he didn't have on the Urim Thummim. He didn't have on a verband of blue. He did it. Was it in jeans? Was it thoughts? Was, I don't know. But somehow, it makes clear to you what Brother Bram said. He said, somehow, when he died, God made me pay for my sins in that body. God, this evil age, remember it? When he died, God made me pay for my sins in that body. So can't you see, as long as I'm on the earth and I need that, that body must stay there for my innocence. In the very moment, the body raises from the throne of God and he lays aside those priestly garments. Something will come toward the earth. It won't be 7 days, 7 months. But you imagine, there'll be no mediator on the throne. No body on the throne. Amen. Humans cannot live in this kind of earth, in this kind of body, without mistakes. Our change must follow his. His office change will bring my body change. Said he's a high priest of our confession, therefore, listen to this, friend. He cannot do anything for us. Why? Why, military? Because he's the high priest of our confession. Therefore, he cannot do anything for us until first we confess that he has done it. Not that he's going to. Oh, I'm in the need of healing. Jesus, yeah, he's going to heal me. That's wrong. You don't confess, he's going to. That's not the state. You're putting that as a future work. He cannot confess that. His confession is, by my stripes, you were already healed. Can't you see? We could even pray and be so close and be one word off and say, oh, he's going to do it, he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And that prayer not even be answered because he cannot link his confession with yours because he's saying, I ain't going to do it, it's done.
I didn't say I was done. I just told y'all to get up. Tricked you. Listen to this, all cause. Therefore, he cannot do anything for us until first we confess that he has done it. Then when we confess it, then he's the high priest, a mediator, to go to work. You want to know what's going on in heaven? He's waiting on you to go to work. Oh my. To go to work on that and make it right. Don't take this wrong, but I want to keep him busy. I'm not saying that I'm going to go out and sin and I'm going to do this and that and other so Jesus will be busy, but hey, I got a lot of needs in my life. I don't smoke, I don't run around, I don't do drink, I don't like nothing, but I need a lot of strength friends in my position. I'm called to minister to all kinds of people. Well, these days God will let you folks sit on the other side maybe. If I had this church only to pastor and deal with, that's enough to kill three men. I get contacted all the time from preachers and pastors and evangelists and people overseas. I'm not just giving to you. I'm giving nearly every day of my life in a way that we stand there and overwhelm you. You know what? I'm not just an endless supply. I'm limited. But I'm glad I'm tied to an unlimited source. But you give out and you give out and you give out. If you don't take back in, it's going to kill you. You understand that? Those of you who care and love others and you minister to others, and you think, man, that drained me. That drained me. You understand? But look, we ourselves would never be able to do it. But the prophet of God said over and over again, we have got untapped resources that we have never even broke into. Can you imagine the reserves? Oh my. I know most of y'all don't love money, but if somehow y'all was to find out there was oil on your property, I mean just everywhere. You was out there digging it up with the Kentucky terminology, grub and hoe. And you was going to set out a rose bush and you dug down about 2 foot, a gusher blowed you plumb back on the back porch, black gold, Texas tea. Man alive, 1,000 barrels a day. So they set up a pump jack and started pumping. So you decided to move that rose bush over 5 feet. Got there grubbing around again. Hit another and another and another. You say, Lord, have mercy. I've been sitting right on top of this for 40 years. Barely able to make my house payment. And this has been right on my property the whole time. Brother Mike Johnson wrote me an email not long ago. Brother Mike, hopefully you won't mind me sharing this. And he asked me, he said, Brother Donnie, where do you get the meanings of those words that you read at all the time? From the scriptures. He said, as I look it up in the Bible dictionaries and I look up it here and there, and he said, don't never say the same thing that you're saying. And he wasn't being argumentative or anything like that. He just wanted to know. So I said, Brother Mike, it's in the message software if you've got that. All you do is go to that word that's got an underline and you click. It'll take you to the Hebrew or the Greek, whichever language it is. It'll give you the name, the correct pronunciation of the word, and then the meanings and all that. Well, he wrote me back and said, I've had that in my computer all these years. And it didn't even know it was there. Untapped resources. Oh, my brother, sister, we don't have to get some Baptist preacher in here to bring us a revival. I don't need to call up Benny Hinn and see if he could come and drum up a Hinn revival. I don't need somebody blowing on me and me falling back. I fell far back enough from Pentecost. I don't want to fall back. I want to go forward. Glory to God! We have got untapped resources right in this Word to give us everything we have need of if we'd only search for it. How many of y'all feel like you need a revival? So what should I do? Call some charismatic guy? Y'all want me to call this bite preacher over here? See if they can maybe bring their clowns over? Set up a rodeo and get some of their rock and roll guys to come over and give us a testimony of how to beat your head against the wall? Bride don't need no bunch of trash out there. All seven seals is open for her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what do we need to do, Brother David? Go to our high priest and say, Lord, I'm feeling a little stale. I need to be stirred, Lord God. I don't need to be born again. I believe I'm born again. I don't need, Lord God, to get saved. I'm already saved. But I believe I need another one of them refillings Brother Ram talked about. The toils of life and just things around me, Lord, just really depleted me. Lord God, I need another refilling of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that you made a way for me, Lord, to have it. Then Jesus goes right to work. All right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to anoint this man to say, I'm going to do that. And then they'll say, all right, Lord. He said, oh boy, my children, they're working me over good. I'm telling you what, this needs healing, this needs deliverance, and this needs a job. All right, then this and that. Boy, I tell you, I love this. Oh, I love this. You remember what Brother Brim said about him in the Old Testament? He busied himself over Israel. He was just like a father, just busying himself, just doing this and taking care of that. Oh, don't you understand? It gives him a purpose. Oh, glory to God. It gives him a purpose. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to ask your forgiveness first of all. Forgive me, Lord, for not making better use of my high priest. You know how we tend to be. We hate to bother you. There's so many pressing needs. Lord, so many people going through so many things, and we just think, I hate to even take up your time. If that was a man, we might have a right to say that. If it was just a mere mortal. But it's you. It's Jesus. And 500 billion people would be praying on the earth at the same time. You could hear them all, know their name, know how to answer it, and knew it before they ever asked it. That's more than we can comprehend. Lord, we don't want to ask for foolish, frivolous stuff. But help us, Lord, to realize this is part of why you came this way. Oh, hallelujah. You love to busy yourself over your people. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our mistakes, our failures. Forgive us our trespasses against you as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us for trespassing against our brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, that we can be like you. Grant it, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for your great truth. May we take this tonight, Lord, and may it change our lives. Last Wednesday after the service, I heard so many comments of so many people saying they was going to start praying different and approaching it different. Apparently, you want us to have another round of it, so I thank you for it. Help us, Lord, that we'll approach you with the throne of grace with boldness, knowing that we have a being on the throne that once was a human and took that human understanding back to heaven. Hallelujah. Grant it, Lord Jesus. I wonder if there's any here tonight that has needs, requests, desires in your heart while our heads are bowed. You'd just like to raise your hand to your heavenly high priest. Maybe it's strength for your duties, you housewives, you fathers. Maybe it's on your job. Who knows what it would be? It could be so many various things. He's not only here to intercede for the lost. He's to intercede for you when you have the need of help. Just help in the time of trouble. Not just when you make mistakes. But he's touched by the feelings of your infirmities. When you get sick, Jesus got sick when he was here, so he'd know that feeling. I don't understand how that all works, Does he remember being sick, feeling sick? I don't know. But I know when his children come to him, he's able to feel that they fail. Amen. Don't take your petition tonight before a judge sitting there with flames of fire shooting out of his eyes. But take your petition to your brother. To your brother. One who become like you. Lord, you see, I've got problems with lust. You see, I got problems with temper. You see, Lord, I got problems with smoking or drinking. This what comes back on me, Lord. Well, whatever you're fighting for him. Just be honest with him. He knows it anyhow. He knows it. He can't help you with that temptation of drinking if you don't ask him. If you want to ignore it and act like it don't exist, he can't help you. He can only help you when you acknowledge you need help. Hallelujah. I want you, if you would, just to lay your hand on that person standing by you. And we're going to offer a word of prayer for each other. Brother Eagle to Brother Eagle or Sister Eagle. Whatever your need is tonight. Physical, psychological, financial. Whatever it is. Your past. Things that you're dealing with presently. Take it to your high priest. Let him bear your name on his chest. Remember, your names are engraved in the palms of his hands. Glory to God. How can he not present that blood and not you be identified with him if your name is on his hands? Glory. Heavenly Father, I pray not only for those in this building present, but for those that are streaming or those that will go back and stream it, archive it. Lord, the emails and the letters I get from people all over the world, the various needs and requests and things that they have. Lord, your people are suffering people. Truly, Lord, if it's in third world countries to where the finances are very poor, some of them suffering, Lord, from lack of nourishment, lack of proper housing, lack of many different things. Some here, Lord, in various parts of Canada and different parts of the world, Lord, live in remote areas, have no church to go to, so they sit at home and stream services from here, other churches, whatever more. Lord God, your people spread all over the earth. They're needy, Lord Jesus. We bring our needs tonight to our brother. Our brother. Lord, my brother Harry's sitting here tonight. We're not just brothers in the Lord, but we're earthly brothers. He knows me and I know him. I'd help him down to the last drop of blood. And he'd do the same for me. Would I help these others? Sure I would. But Lord, there's something about kinfolk. Oh, glory. And you feel the same way. There's something about your kin. Oh, glory. And you become kin to us. That you could look at us. And when you look at your bride, you look at her in a different way than foolish virgin. Because they're family. They're family. And you don't make excuse for us. You make a way for our redemption. Unlike us human families, we'll take up for our kids even when they're wrong. And we shouldn't do that. We should stand for what's right. More than anything else. But Lord, you look with that family tie. And you know we're trapped in these bodies. You know, in our souls, we don't want to be this way. We don't like to live under the law of pro and con. We don't like ups and downs. We don't like valleys and mountains. We don't like sickness and health. We enjoy health. We enjoy happiness. We enjoy blessing. We don't like this other law. But we have to deal with it. And you know, were it our choice, we'd be free from that law right now. I wouldn't wait another minute. I'd move beyond this world. I'd move beyond the law of contrast. I'd move beyond the law of pro and con. But I'm held a prisoner. Bars of bones, they hold my soul. The skin, the tissues and sinew, they hold me in this prison house. But you know me. You know me. If I could be released, I'd fly away tonight, Lord God. I'd leave. I'd leave this old prison, but I'm held here. So are these people. Lord, we pray for your strength.
for your mercy, for your healing, for your deliverance, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Minister to your people right now, Lord God, I pray. Hallelujah. 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 Now, whatever you need in your heart, if you don't want anybody to hear you saying it right there by you necessarily, just confess it right out in your heart. You are my healer. By your stripes, I'm already healed. The work is already done. The peace is paid for. The atonement is mine. Hallelujah. I am already delivered. I'm already set free. Anoint my face to believe it tonight, Lord God. I may not be able to do one thing but wiggle my little finger, but I'm going to be healed. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Now let's raise our hands, shall we? Let's give Him praise. Oh, my blessed high priest, my redeemer, my mediator, my sin bearer. Hallelujah, my go-between. Thank you, my Lord Jesus. Thank you, my Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Get a song for us here. Friends, look at me. Can you imagine on the Day of Atonement when the high priest would start out from behind the veil and the people were on the outside and they could hear a faint sound, real faint, tingle, tingle, tingle. A pomegranate and a bell. Brother Bram said the reason they'd done that was they'd know as long as the high priest was making a noise, he was still alive. And he said, any religion that ain't got no noise, no emotion to its dead needs to be buried. So you imagine when he turns and he comes out after this procedure and they hear it and the sound is getting louder and louder and louder and they see him break through and the Shekinah on him. Oh my. And the smell of the burnt offering and all that, and the high priest walks out and their burdens are lifted. Glory. Glory. God didn't kill him. Or accept it. Or accept it. All of our sins are gone. Oh my. Can't you see why when they stood there and said, this same Jesus has God made both Lord and Christ. He has accepted him. Here come the high priest in the upper room. A pomegranate and a bell. A pomegranate and a bell. A pomegranate and a bell. Amen. A sound of a rushing mighty wind. They knew he had been accepted, and because he was, now they were. Oh, glory. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jehovah Jireh.
Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
My provider.
You are more than. Do you believe the church? He's more than enough for you and me.
our gates.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hold fast your profession. I don't care what x-rays say, PET scans, CT scans, MRIs, any other eyes. Who has believed our report? Hallelujah. Oh, you said, but Brother Donnie, it's so bad as long as there's one little speck of breath left in you. And you know what? Even if you've stopped breathing and it ain't will for His will for you to go, He can still raise you up from that. Hallelujah. You're loving children. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. See you this week. Sing it together as we go. Jehovah Jireh. You supply.